Matthew chapter number 18 tonight. I'm watching the time, but I want to deal with a passage of scripture that I hope will be a help to you. A passage of scripture that a lot of times when the preacher's preaching, he likes to skip over this. They don't want to deal with it. But there's some great truth here, and there's actually a section of this passage of scripture that's used a lot, but it's taken out of context. You'll see it here in just a minute. And I want to share with you tonight a message titled, Dealing with Offenses. Dealing with other people's offenses. How many of you ever had somebody sin against you? Would you raise your hand? Of course, it happens. And how do we deal with that? I'm afraid that often as Christians, we deal with it incorrectly. We deal with it in the flesh. We deal with it according to the flesh and sinfully. And as a result, we've got a big problem. You know that the devil's greatest device and method for hurting the cause of Christ among churches and church people is when brothers and sisters get aught against one another and it's unreconciled. And we need to be the kind of people who are going to swallow our pride, and unity and forgiveness is our goal. And it's important. It's important to God. It's important to His Word. Jesus has just told His disciples that He would, if He had 100 sheep, and 99 of them were together, and one of them was missing, that He would go after that one lost sheep. And when He found that one lost sheep, not only would He find it, but He would rejoice greatly in finding that one lost sheep and restore it back to the fold. And He has just finished saying that, and He finishes this in verse 15. He continues, I should say, in verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Dealing with offenses. Jesus has said, I'll rejoice over one lost sheep. And He says, it's not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. And His burden is for the individual, one person. As He is considering this subject and this topic, He begins to deal with brothers and trespasses, sins, brothers sinning against brothers. And we find in verse 15, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Now, He gives us the spirit of going after the one lost sheep. He gives us the spirit that we have for pursuing and determining and dealing with offenders and dealing with folks who have sinned against us or somebody that you're just aggravated with or angry with. Because they've undone you. They've acted unjustly. You've been offended by them. If you find yourself in this situation, God's got some instruction for us. And we got to begin with the spirit of this passage. You see, you don't approach this. You do not deal with this so that you can win an argument. You deal with these things so that you can restore a brother. It's not about winning an argument. It's about winning a friend. It's not about getting your way. It's about in humility and godly sincerity, seeking to have unity between you and somebody you shouldn't have disunity with. The Bible teaches us there's a method and there's a way to deal with offenses. And we'll just go through this and ask the Lord's blessing. Number one, dealing with offenses, keep it small. Keep it small. And we're going to look at this, and I want you to see it. The Bible says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee. First of all, we need to understand we're dealing with Christians. Christians dealing with Christians. It's a shame to know, but it happens that there are sometimes folks on one side of a church who will not speak to folks on the other side of the church. And that's a shame, and that's something that God cannot bless. And there, it's a shame to know that in a town like ours that there are men who claim to be children of God and serving their churches, who hold bitterness and ought in their heart against other men who serve in other churches. That's not the spirit of Christ, and that's not the spirit of unity. And God's people need to get to the place where we're willing, with a Christ-like spirit, to deal with offenses. And so the first thing you do is keep it small. He says, you're dealing with your brother. If thy brother trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Now, keep it small. What do? I get offended, I get aggravated at somebody, they've done something wrong to me. We go and tell, right? But we don't go and tell him. We go and tell anybody else that'll listen. And sometimes the conversation's like, now I ain't talking about nobody, but yes, you are talking about somebody. I don't mean talk about people, but if you start your sentence like that, you're doing exactly what you said you ain't doing. It's not good English, but it makes perfect sense, right? Keep it small. I'll just tell you something. It takes a lot of grace when you've been offended or hurt by someone to keep your mouth shut long enough to get your heart right and go to that person and that person alone to air your grievance in the right spirit. If you go to that person and you're mad, don't go yet. But when you can get to the place where you can go to that person and that person alone and keep it small, then you have an opportunity to fulfill the will of God, the word of God, and you know what happens? I'm afraid to put a number on it, but I'd say 90% is pretty easily attainable. If you'll keep your mouth shut and not gossip and whine and complain about someone else's offense to other people, and you will pray and give God time to get your heart right about that offense and that burden, and you will give it time to get your heart clean with God, and then you will go to that person and say, hey, look, here's what happened, and I want to clear it up, and I want you to know what I've been feeling, what I've been thinking. And you do that in the right spirit, the Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath. You know what happens? 9 times out of 10, maybe better, that problem is resolved. And the Bible says you gain a brother. But you know what we do? We like to blow things up. Spiritual people make big problems as small as they possibly can be. Carnal people make small problems as big as they think they can get by with. You see, if you're going to deal with offenses, then you're going to have to first deal with your own spirit, and you're going to have to do things the right way and go to that person and say, hey, look, here's the burden I'm bearing. Help me with it. Here's what I've been offended by. And I'm not trying to win an argument. I just want you to know what's going on. And I want to get things right. And life's too short. If you'll humbly go to somebody and you'll keep it small, guess what happens? Most of the time, the problem is resolved. If, in fact, that person is out in sin, you never can tell, but your witness and your concern and your burden for that person's sinfulness, your conversation and your right attitude and you going to them and keeping it small may be the thing that causes them to repent of their sin and turn from their ways. And this should be a practice that all Christians get involved with. Keep it small. Keep it small. Go to them and them alone. The Bible says, if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Number two, dealing with offenses. Keep it accurate. Have you ever thought about this when you're upset? There's a possibility that you're wrong. How many of you have been really upset about something, and it's eat at you and eat at you, and finally you found out the truth about it, and you were wrong? Isn't it a hard pill to swallow when you're wrong? But you know what? A lot of times I'm wrong. Do you know if jumping to conclusions was a physical exercise, a lot of us would be skinny as a rail. If running our mouths was a cardiovascular exercise, we'd be in shape. Sometimes I get aggravated about something. Come to find out, I was wrong. I was wrong. When the Bible says, judge not that you be not judged, that's the application. When you jump to a conclusion, when you make a decision, when you judge something without knowing the whole picture, when all you can see is your side and your offense and in your flesh. So as I look at the second verse, I see what's happening. You have this guy, he's offended. He goes to the person that has offended him, and the person has sinned. Most likely we're dealing with the fact that this person has sinned, a trespass against you. You go to this person. If he doesn't hear you, if you don't get it squared away, if you don't get it resolved, he says, well, then the next thing you need to do is you need to take at least one person, maybe two, and you take these three people, two or three people, you and two witnesses, and you go to this person who has trespassed against you, and the Bible says you establish the words around witnesses. Do you get you a couple people that you know are going to just cheer you on no matter what you say? No, that's foolish. You get a couple people who have a sincere desire for the truth, and they're going to help you, and you take those people with you and you establish every word. You know what might happen when you take a witness with you, and the witness hears the conversation from the trespasser and the witness hears the conversation from the trespassee? The witness may look at you and say, hey, look, I don't think you're seeing this right. And if your witness says you're not right, you know what you should do? Say, all right. All right, I was wrong. Let's practice that. Everybody, after I say it, you say it. I was wrong. I was wrong. Whew, that wasn't so hard, was it? I'll just tell you something. If you don't have the opportunity to say that occasionally, you're either proud or dead. All right? If you don't say I'm sorry occasionally, you're proud or you're dead. If you don't say, please forgive me, you're proud or you're dead. Because we all live and have fleshes. And you and I are not always right. So what do? We bring two people with us and we establish all the words. And if in fact the person is sinning, you have got somebody with you, and you have approached this person, this sin, the trespasser, and you have the burden not to prove them wrong, you have a burden to restore them to fellowship and to help them. That's the right way. What do? Keep it small. What do? Keep it accurate. Thirdly, if necessary, involve the church. If necessary, involve the church. Now, this is a passage of Scripture, and I could easily be criticized for not dealing with it strong enough. I could easily be criticized for dealing with it not strong enough. I'll just tell you something. Church discipline is a biblical principle, and working through the issue of sin in the congregation is a fact, and it's something that we should do, and we should do it in the right spirit. We should do it in the right way, and God gives liberty to individual local churches to deal with the issues of the body according to the dictates of their conscience. I've seen this passage of Scripture taken way out of context and overused and misused. And I've also seen it greatly neglected. And so what I want to bring to your attention is this. Keep it small. Where the Bible says when you've been offended or when you've been trespassing against somebody, the first thing you do is you talk to that person. The second thing you do is you keep it accurate. You get you some witnesses and make sure that you're right and make sure that everything is clear You're not just seeing one side. And the third thing, if necessary, involve the church. The Bible says in verse 17, if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Jesus says, now look, we're trying to restore this guy. We're not going to accept his wickedness. We're not going to accept the trespass and just overlook it. He says, we're going to deal with it and try to deal with it right. And if you have to, go to the church. I want you to know something. It would help marriages if husband and wives who have offenses would get the church involved. I'm not talking about standing in front of the, don't get me wrong, I'm not talking about standing in front of the church and airing out, you know, emptying out all your baggage. I'm talking about call the preacher. Get some help. God gave you a church. Man, what a great privilege. What a blessing. Sometimes it's good to get the church involved. Do you know why people do not want to get the church involved? Because they're too proud to admit they're wrong. And they want to put on some type of air that they're better than they really are. But we all struggle. We all have burdens. We all have issues. We all have little skeletons in the closet here and there, and sometimes it's a big one. But you know what? We have a bigger God and a loving Savior. And God gave us this great treasure. What did he give us? He gave us a church. Hallelujah for the church. I'll just tell you right now, if it wasn't for the accountability of the church, I'm the preacher. If it wasn't for the accountability of the church, who knows what I'd be doing? Who knows what emphasis I'd make in my life? Who knows what big mistakes? I'm thankful for the accountability of the church. You know why God called me to preach? Because he knew I needed more accountability. Some of you don't show up on Wednesday night, we don't notice. If I don't show up on Wednesday night, everybody notices. And I'm in trouble. God must knew I needed more accountability than you did. Thank God for the church. Now look what the Bible says about the church. Now look, there may come a time where the church publicly has to address some sinful issue. And that's fine if we do. But I want you to see something that's so important, and I think we miss it in this passage of Scripture. The authority of the church. The Scripture says in verse number 18, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth. Now he's talking about the church and this group of people. It's a small group that he's referring to. It's two or three people right now. Whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. What God's saying here is, he says, now look, you make a decision to bring a judgment on this person for their wickedness that they have not, they wouldn't talk one-on-one, they wouldn't do anything about it. In witnesses, they wouldn't do anything about it. Now before the church, they won't do anything about it. And the Bible says you should declare them a heathen. That means that these aren't the kind of folks that we can fellowship with. They can't identify. We can't identify with these people because there's wickedness and sin in their lives. And he says, if you make that decision as a church, he says, what you've bound on earth, it's bound in heaven. And what you've loosed on earth, when that person repents and you say, now look, you're welcome back in our fellowship. We're so thankful. You're that one lost sheep. We're rejoicing at your restoration. He said, God, Jesus speaking, he says to the people who are going to found the church, he says, hey, look, you bind it on earth, it's bound in heaven. You loose it on earth, it's loosed in heaven. You've got that authority. The local church is doing heaven's work on earth. Now, we should none of us take a proud, arrogant part in that, but we should, with awe and thanksgiving, thank God that he's given us something like a church that we can have in the authority of God, the authority of heaven, to see God do work in our lives and help us and strengthen us and encourage us. And with that, he says these very famous words. Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Now, nobody's praying in this passage of Scripture right now. But the church is acting, and the church is working, and the work of God's people on and the work of God on earth, he says, look, if the church is working together in the Spirit of Christ and in unity, I'm in the midst of it. I'm in the midst of it. God's blessing. And in verse number 20, he says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. There am I in the midst of them. Guess what? Do you want to be actually right, or do you want to win an argument? Some people are satisfied if they can just somehow get above someone else. Sometimes arguments are determined, and the winner of an argument is determined by who can be loudest, who can be meanest. Sometimes arguments are won or lost according to who has the most stamina, who can stay up longer. But the truth of the matter is, if you want God's will, your burden should not be to win the argument. Your burden should be to be actually right with God. Right with God. And if we're right with God in the matter of an offense, if you have to say, I'm sorry, that's good, because God's will is right and good and pure and what's best for you and everybody involved. It's a matter of pride. So the Bible teaches us this. He says, now look, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. There's the goal. The goal is to be right with God. The goal is to be right with God. And when we're right with God, we have the opportunity to be right with one another and conquer the offense and have authority and power in heaven. May God help us to deal with offenses. How do you deal with them? Keep it small. Keep it accurate. If necessary, involve the church. God's given us a great treasure in the local church. What a privilege it is to serve Him, to know Him, and to have this truth. Let's pray.